Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, June 3rd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
We had some incredible number coming out for the job creation today for May, and everyone is shocked at the numbers that were released, but gold benefited for those numbers. We'll talk about those numbers right after the market report. So we had bullion coming off its biggest monthly loss since November, and we have gold up $32. But I'll tell you what, with that employment number, with the job creation number at 38,000, gold, there was no reason gold shouldn't have been up $100. There's no reason the stock markets should have plowed down 500 point plus. We didn't see that. They did everything possible to keep the Dow from going down too much, but we still got 32 bucks for gold at 1,243. Silver also a nice day. Still didn't match gold's percentage gain, but close. Gold, silver 1647 up 0.40. 1647 for silver. Platinum is up 24 at 985. Palladium up 20 at 557. The other side of that gold coin, of course, is the dollar. And that took a beating today, down 1.60 at 94.00. Crude oil was hit a little bit, not much, 0.41 at 48.76. And the paper markets today, as I mentioned, were just down slightly. Well, I guess the final ticks are coming in. The Dow was down 31 points, 17,807. The NASDAQ was down 28 at 49.42. The S&P down 6, 2,099. 10-year yield, everybody was plowing into treasuries. That's 1.70, down 0.11. And, of course, you saw the euro pop as we saw the dollar decline. That was up 1.80 at 1.14 for the euro. And I'm not even going to talk about foreign markets as, you know, they didn't react to our numbers today. But Al, the job creation, 38,000 positions.
And, yeah, that's pretty amazing. And what's surprising to me is the U.S. dollar index is down 1.5 points. 1.6, actually. I don't recall seeing it fall that much ever before. It may have done so. I don't remember clearly, but I don't remember seeing that drop that much. It's certainly, if it's dropped that much or more before, it hasn't happened very often. I'm not sure it's happened at all.
That is a huge drop. I know when it was dropping significantly, we might have had that type of but lately, I mean, we've seen it move up a point. It's rare. It's rare.
Yeah, we've seen
it's
it
very
move up
rare. A full point, but
yeah,
1.5, 1.6, wherever it might, wherever it might fall at any given point. Yeah, it's significant, and no one is talking about it. I watched some of the financial news programs today, and very little discussion on that dollar drop. There was some discussions on gold, but all eyes were this is pretty much eliminating any type of Fed hike in June. Probably eliminates any Fed rate hikes this summer and probably eliminates any Fed rate hike until after the election, if there will be one at that point in time. This was the lowest since 2007, when the monthly job creation lost about 52,000 jobs. And there's a lot of stuff in this report. There's the unemployment fell to 4.7%.
Now, how does that make any sense?
Let me finish.
Well, I know what the answer is. But
it does not include those who did not actively look for employment during the month or the underemployed who are working part-time for economic reasons. So they use the U3, which is the official unemployment rate. But when you include the U5 and the U6, that actually brings up that rate to about 9.7%.
Well, the article I have here from the Associated Press says the unemployment rate tumbled to 4.7% from 5%. At the same time, we've only produced 38,000 jobs. And they go on and they explain the rate fell, the unemployment rate fell for a problematic reason. Nearly a 500,000 jobless Americans stopped looking for work and so were no longer officially counted as unemployed. Right? So what is the unemployment rate if they can just knock off a 500,000 people every once in a while? How do they know these people aren't looking for work? And what are they doing? I mean, do they have some sort of a registry where people sign up, okay, I'm not looking for work anymore? I mean, this is like seasonally adjusted figures for the gross domestic product or whatever. You got to wonder, is this really seasonally adjusted? Is this mathematically sound? Or is this just a way they cook the books?
Well, I mean, they use the U3 as the official unemployment rate. But when you add in all these other factors, like I mentioned, which is a part of the participation rate, you're going to get a lot higher number. And the participation rate, I mean, the Americans not in the labor force, as you mentioned, surged to 94.7 million. That's a huge increase. So again, it's, you know, analyzing these reports, and certainly the financial news programs, the Wall Street, they certainly don't want to dive into, you know, the truth of the matter. They have to this time because the number is so drastic. I mean, it's shot. So they had to talk about these numbers. They actually had to put it in print and so forth. But every other month, these numbers are just as bad. You know, we talk about them, but we probably don't spend as much time on them as we should. So, yes, there are problems out there. The private sector added only 25,000 jobs. 25,000 jobs. Plus, they revised both March and April. They revised March down to 186,000 from 2008, and April went to 123,000, and it was initially reported as 160,000. So again, we see these numbers continue to drop. And you know what you see in these numbers today really reflects what we talk about since we've been talking for years and years. You know, since the recession, since before that, but recently, it confirms to what we're talking about. The economy is not as good as what they want you to believe. Just because the stock market is up there at 18,000, it doesn't mean that things are dandy. And we can explain those reasons why that Dow is 18,000. You had mining, they lost 10,000 jobs. It was, and they're going to blame a lot of this for the Verizon strike. You've heard it throughout the day. You know how some of that, the jobs fell by 34,000. You know, maybe next month, you know, because that was recently resolved, maybe you'll see the difference in the gains next month. But manufacturing lost 18,000 jobs. Part-time added 139,000 positions. Full-time lost 59,000 jobs. So again, I think that's important there also. So
I think here's another point from the Associated Press. It says job gains have now averaged just 116,000 in the past 3 months. 116,000 a month. That's the average for the first quarter of the year, essentially. Down sharply from an average of 230,000 in the 12 months ending in April. Now, we're talking basically job gains are half for the first quarter of this year as compared to what they were on average for last year. Half. They've been cut by half. You know, we bring these items to people's attention on this program, and we do it persistently, and we point to this one and this one and this one, and we have different indicators that indicate we have some kind of a problem. And the point to all of this is, I don't know how significant it is exactly that they only created 38,000 jobs. By itself, we can weather that particular little storm. Then there's other problems. What's happening with housing? What's happening with subprime mortgages or subprime loans for automobiles? What's happening with money coming into the country, going out of the country? The value of the dollar. You have one thing after another, after another, after another. This is just one of many apparent problems, any one of which, if they really get serious, might be sufficient to cause some real economic trouble in this country. And part of the reason for making this report is to say, look, we got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. It's not to be pessimistic per se. It's not to be doom and gloom, but it's to say, you look at this and it's like saying we got a hole in the bow, we got a hole in the stern, we got a hole in midship. We got water coming into the ship from a number of different sources, and this is not a good thing. The ship has not sunk. That's true. But we're taking water from a number of different sources, and this is one of them. How many jobs were created? So it's a word to the wise. It's another one of those things that says, look, time to get your life jacket on. The ship is taking water. You know?
Actually, I find the 38,000 shocking. That they've actually released that number. But I think it had more to do with her being not having to increase rates next month. And that
you think
much,
they falsified that number?
That pretty much has taken the rate off the table. Until
I agree with that, but are you saying
and it's
you
very
think
possible.
They yeah. falsified the
to
number?
To this degree? I mean, come on. Obama's administration, they have tinkered with this number more than any administration that I can remember.
I understand.
Especially during election years. Just to get
with the idea that the number is higher than what is real.
I don't.
Then they come back the month later and they say, oh, we make a correction and we told you it was 200,000.
I don't think you're going to have that. But to me, yeah, I think 38,000 is shocking. I mean, I can't imagine that they would have to. I don't think they would have had to reduce it this low in order to make her take that rate cut or rate increase off the table. I mean, you know, they were expecting 160. You know, they could have did 105 and it would have taken it off the table. Maybe not until, you know, the end of the year. But no, I think this number it's fascinating. It really is fascinating.
Well, it's the sort
so
of thing
that tells
that
you, I think, I mean, it really tells you how all the other numbers have been falsified. Because I don't know.
And they're finally going to tell us the truth? Is this the first time we've had the truth in the past several years?
I mean, what can you imagine what the next number is going to be?
Well, that'll be
going, I mean, with this drop, you'd think it'd go into the negative territories like we saw back in 2007 when we were negative 52,000. I don't know. But
well,
a lot of
one other point about it.
Lot
is it a trigger?
Too, let me just finish this. A lot of this, too, is possibly the oil industry. The numbers are finally catching up and are being reported for the job losses coming from the oil problem with the dropping of the oil prices. This, you know, I don't know, but possible.
Well, again, is this a trigger? I mean, is it just interesting news? Is it shocking news? Or will it have repercussions that are, who knows what's going to happen?
I think next week your markets will tank. They kept the markets
we'll
from
watch
dropping
and see.
Today.
It's one
next
of the things,
week the markets are going to tank.
It's one of the things we'll sit back and give us something to wait on, anticipate over the weekend.
When you're seeing the 10-year drop like I did, and I think gold will be much higher next week. Yesterday I made a comment that, you know, if the report today came in higher, you'd see gold lower. And if it came in lower, you'd see gold higher. Gold should have been, they were even saying on mainstream media, gold should have been higher today. That's mainstream financial news programs. Gold should have been up $100 with a 1.5-point drop. In the dollar?
Even a $30 raise is welcome news for people who've been, you know, that's. Ooh.
But it's just to say, the markets really haven't reflected that 38,000 drop yet. You'll see it next week. And, you know, we had a 4-day week. I didn't look to see what the volumes were today. You know, that would give us a little bit of an indication of, you know, what the markets and why maybe they did. But today also the U.S. trade deficit, the Commerce Department today said that the deficit increased 5.3% in April to $37.4 billion. Exports increased 1.5%, but the imports rose faster, of course. The deficit with China surged 16.3%. You know, and that falls right into Donald Trump's campaign, so he should take advantage of this. I think he already did. There's another interesting part on here. Of course, they blame the strong dollar as far as making our products a little bit more expensive overseas. The deficit for all of 2015 had totaled $500.4 billion, up 2.1% from the previous year. Next week, the U.S. and the Chinese officials are going to meet in Beijing so for some talks, resolving some disagreements between the two nations, of course, of trade and foreign policy. You're going to have Treasury Secretary Jacob Blue there leading the talks and said that China could suffer bad consequences for its economy if it backs away from its program to open its markets and reduce its reliance on export-led growth. So it will be interesting to see if anything comes out of those meetings. Highly unlikely, just probably a bunch of baloney that'll come out of there, and China's going to go off and do whatever they want. But certainly there is tension between the two countries. Don't know how real it is, but we know the U.S. did impose tariffs on cold rolled steel recently, increasing it. We'll have to
just another leaf in the breeze. Let's take a break for some commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just wanted to finish up on that little report on the deficit, just some numbers. Canada, we ran a surplus, which is no surprise, $900 million, but that was the highest monthly surplus on record. The deficit with Mexico, that rose 5.7%. And the European Union, we had an increase of 9.3% from March. So I thought that number was a little interesting. But again, with these deficits, that gives more fuel for Trump as he, you know, continues to talk about NAFTA and the type of bad trade agreements that these are at the cost of American jobs. There was one other report I wanted to talk about today, Experian. They actually track auto loans, and this is interesting. I think they said that the total amount of auto loans in the first quarter of 2016 was $1.005 trillion. Auto loans. That seems like an awfully high number to me. That's
$1 trillion that's for 1 month?
For the first quarter.
For the first quarter.
That's up 10% from the same period a year ago, after hitting an all-time high of 17.46 million vehicles sold last year. The loan balances are larger because the demand for trucks and, yes, SUVs, of course, are sell at higher prices than cars. Lease, and people are leasing. Open leases jumped 27% to an all-time high of $76.9 billion. Of course, that was the first 3 months of 2016. The payment
size. How much sense does that make against a background of only 38,000 new jobs?
Exactly.
How much sense does it make that they are leasing more and more? More money is going into automobile leases, even though the number of new jobs for the first quarter this year are half of what they were for last year.
Yeah. 30,000 is the average auto loan for a new car, and is at an all-time high. The average monthly payment is at a record, $500, more than $500. And Experian also noted that there's more subprime borrowers and are borrowing for new auto purchases. So the continued rise in new vehicle costs have kept many customers exploring options to keep their monthly payments affordable, therefore the leases. And as long as the vehicle prices continue to rise, you're going to continue to see leasing rates rise. And but yeah, I mean, it doesn't fit in. And even the job numbers, I mean, they've been decreasing. I just didn't have go from, you know, 100 and what it was last month, 180 or something, down to, you know, the 38,000 this month. So again, you're right, it doesn't match with what's going on. It
doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's one of those things you look at and the math, the numbers don't seem to add up. Maybe they do, but it doesn't seem to add up. And it tells, it at least gives you reason to think that maybe they're cooking the books. And what does that mean? They're not cooking the books because things are so great. All right? They're not saying, let's cook the books because everybody's getting fabulously wealthy and the economy is stronger and we will amp things up. They're cooking the books because things are bad. If they are cooking the books, the reason is to conceal reality from the American public. And it's a way of telling you, look, things are getting pretty serious. We might be a lot closer. You know, we talk about when is this thing going to, these problems, when will they finally come to a head? We see evidence that they could come to a head, and we keep seeing it, and we keep seeing it, and they don't exactly come to a head. Maybe we're getting closer to that. Everyone seems to think so. You can't tell for sure, but, you know, it's just one of those things. You look at it, it is confusing, it's ambiguous, it's hard to know what to make of it, but it's like being, again, using that analysis or analogy of a ship. The ship is listing to port. It's supposed to be going level through the water, and instead, it's still moving through the water, but it's moving on an angle. That tells us something is wrong. Again, this gives us reason to think, maybe I better find, where's that life preserver? Where did I put that life preserver? I better hang on to that. I just might need that, and maybe not so long from now.
You know, I came across an article yesterday. It was an interview with Elon Musk, you know, the CEO of Tesla.
Yep.
And I don't have it in front of me. I was trying to find it. I mean, because you talk about, you know, where, you know, we look at all of these different, you know, where there isn't much that makes sense and everything is fine and happy. But we often talking about the illusion that has been created. And what he actually talks about, and the question, he was in an interview, and the question was asked to whether we were living in an artificial world.
That
is
how,
I know, but I mean, this is what he's saying. He's powered by artificial intelligence and highly powered computers. He says, like in the Matrix, he talks about living. Oh, this keeps coming on. My apologies if you hear voices in the background. But he
are you
talks,
sure they're in the background, Melody?
Yes, I'm positive.
Okay,
I'm
all right.
Positive they're in the background.
Don't worry about the voices in the background. They're okay. It's the other ones. Got to say no to the voices, Melody. I do.
But he talks about. I'm trying to pull this up while I'm here. He calls it a simulation. He says the strongest argument for us probably being in a simulation He says he thinks his following, 40 years ago, we had Pong, two rectangles and a dot. That's where we were. Now, 40 years later, we have a photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously, and it's getting better every year. And soon we're going to have virtual reality, and we'll have augmented reality. Yep. If you assume any rate of improvement at all, then the games will become indistinguishable from reality. And I'm thinking, well, you know,
in many regards, it may become preferable to reality. I mean, that's what's happening to a lot of kids right now. They are obsessed with these games. They become more attractive than real life. Not for all kids, but for a lot of kids, for some significant percentage. And I don't doubt that the people who manufacture the games, they fully intend. It's not, you know, they know this is going to get to where your life in virtual reality will be preferable to the life you seem to be leading in reality.
But isn't that what we were just kind of talking about, the illusion that we've created? Here we go to work, we come home, we do this. But yet, hey, Wall Street and the financial markets, maybe in other areas, maybe it's not as, you know, as easily observed. But yet in the financial markets, here you're seeing stock markets are high, people are getting their quarterly statements, their confidence is strong. But yet when you look underneath that and you look at the reality, so it's almost like we're in that place to some degree.
You know, that's what we're talking about when we talk about fundamentals on this program.
The fundamentals are the reality.
Talking about the reality. Yes, the fundamentals are the reality. You know, one of the biggest delusions that we have in modern economics is the way they allegedly discover the price of gold on COMEX, where there are allegedly 500 claims against every, over 500, against every single physical ounce of gold that's in the vault. That's like having five. I'm selling Cadillacs. I've got one Cadillac in the lot, and I have 500 people who are paying me for that Cadillac. I'm selling that same Cadillac to 500 people, but because we've got a special deal with the government, what's going to happen is when it's time for these people to take 500 people to take delivery on the Cadillac, I'm going to write them a check instead, plus a little bit more than what they paid in. We give them a little premium, and everybody accepts it, and nobody demands the Cadillac. But the reality is, if two people demand the Cadillac, and there's only one Cadillac, I am technically bankrupt. That's what this means when they've got 500 of these claims. These paper gold, these claims are the paper gold. They're saying, well, I think gold is worth $1,240 an ounce or $1,250 or whatever. That's paper gold. Nobody even knows what the real price of physical gold is right now. We have no mechanism for discovering it. We are led to believe that 500 ounces of paper gold can produce a reliable measure of the price of physical gold. It's insane. It's crazy. Again, this is evidence that COMEX is bankrupt. This is a Ponzi scheme where they've got just a year or two ago, they discovered there were 117 claims on every ounce of physical gold at COMEX, and they thought that was astonishing. And now it's up to over 500. Why is it growing? I think it's because COMEX is running a Ponzi scheme. In order to make this thing work, they've got to keep going deeper and deeper into this ratio of paper gold to physical gold. And how can it end? I mean, how far are they going to go? Are there over 500 now? When they get to 1,000, will it blow up then? Will it blow up when they get to 10,000 claims? At what point do people finally say, hey, you guys don't have any gold, do you? And COMEX is going to have to say, no, actually, we don't. We've just been selling this illusion.
And that's what I want to get back. Gold is the reality. Gold is the reality. The paper market, that's the illusion.
Yeah.
But gold is the reality. I just want to finish up what he says. Now, I'm not a fan of Elon Musk. You know, he's teaming up with all the other billionaires in the world to try and stop Donald Trump. You know, he wants to live in Mars. Well, go right ahead and live in Mars. But it kind of tells you, too, why these guys want to get away from the earth, because they've destroyed it, in my view. But anyway, what he goes on and says, he says that since games that would be indistinguishable from reality that could be played anywhere, it would seem to follow that the odds that we're in base reality is 1 in billions. He was asked whether he was saying that the answer to the question of whether we are in a simulated computer game was yes. He said the answer is probably. He says that arguably we should hope that it's true that we live in a simulation. Otherwise, if civilization stops advancing, then that may be due to the event that stops civilization. And he says that this will make simulations that we can't tell apart from the real world, or civilization will cease to exist.
Well, I don't know about that. I think civilization will cease to exist in direct proportion to us becoming obsessed and addicted to this virtual reality. It becomes a kind of drug. I mean, what's the difference between virtual reality that you pick up with some sort of a computer screen or goggles you wear or whatever? What's the difference between that and LSD or heroin or coke or whatever? It's a kind of drug, ultimately, that takes you away from reality. And reality has to be endured if we want to grow enough food to put food on the table where we can feed ourselves. That virtual reality can't feed us. It can create the illusion of steak and lobster and the rest of that sort of thing, but it's not going to actually grow any food. If we get hooked onto this virtual reality, we still need real food. Who's going to grow it while we're all watching our virtual reality programs?
And of course, his statement of civilization, it might not be the complete annihilation of civilization. They're billionaires, so living like we do might seem like civilization has ceased, if they can't live the life that they're accustomed to. But there has been, what's interesting is there's a big push for these guys to go to Mars to send. He's planning on sending a capsule to Mars in 2018. So, the future of this world, I don't know, Al.
Oh, we live in interesting times. There's no question about it.
100 years from now.
100 years from now?
100 years.
You think we're going to make it 100 years?
No.
To think
100 years. But I know things move slow. They can move slow, they can move fast, but...
Yeah, I understand, but the way things are going right now, it does appear that they are going to move faster and faster and faster. It's all you can do to keep up with what's happening right now, but I can only imagine what it's going to be just a couple of years from now. Things are moving so extraordinarily quickly that it becomes, what can you hang on to that's real? And that's not just a philosophical question. That may be a fundamental question that people are going to have to ask themselves and answer. And some of them are going to say, I'm going to hang on to virtual reality. That's where I want to live. That'll be fine, but who feeds you? Who's going to pay for the food while you're stuck in virtual reality? And others are going to say, look, I got to get back to reality. I got to stop this.
But it's going to be so indistinguishable. And I think this is where we are today. To a big degree, it's hard for people to distinguish really what is going on. You have this manipulation, by Wall Street, by governments, by the media, mainly media. Media is a big part of it. And so I found that fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's even scary.
It's scary because he's actually confirming what we talk about when we talk about illusions. But he's talking about, hey, we're already in that game.
Well,
we're already playing that game, and we are.
There's a bunch of artificial things that are happening that include market manipulation and the prices of gold and the unemployment rate and God knows how much else is artificial.
Maybe not 100%, but it is part of it.
Oh, it's a big part of it.
Big part of
but
it.
But I don't agree that we're trapped in the Matrix or something like
well,
that.
Well, not yet. I mean, certainly we don't have, the virtual reality and,
That'll be next,
Ruby
that'll
really
be next
isn't
month.
A real dog.
That'll be next month. We can't have virtual reality.
But just think, if I had a virtual dog, I wouldn't have to feed her.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what the government's thinking about you. If they had a virtual, you and the other
you
the
better pinch
welfare
your,
nurse,
I'll
these
pinch
people
yourself.
Are only virtual. We wouldn't actually have to, have to feed them.
We're going to have to pinch everybody to make sure we're real.
Well, let's break and take some real commercials for a couple of moments, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a minute. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I got a caller, George from Toronto. Hello, George.
How's it going, Al? Melody's hearing the voices again, eh?
Hi, George.
She says,
hi, Melody.
She says they're really in the background. They're not, so I guess.
Not in her head?
What's up,
okay.
George? Got a question for
okay.
us?
Listen, it's true, though, eh? It is hard to distinguish what's real from not real sometimes. Like, you think is the... I keep thinking every day, like, what the heck is this money? It's just paper, and it's nothing. I mean, why is your paper worth more than our paper,
Well, one of the things I was thinking about relative to where Venezuela has gotten in, found itself in a predicament where the Central Bank of Venezuela doesn't have enough paper, ink, and little metallic strips to put in their currency where they can afford to print their own money. You understand? It's cost them a couple of cents to print a 100 Bolivar note, and they don't have the couple of cents to print the note, and for whatever reason, they're having their notes printed by some foreign printer in a foreign country and delivered by 747s into Venezuela. Why? Given this currency is worthless, it's intrinsically worthless. Why pay the Federal Reserve or the Central Bank of Venezuela or some foreign printer to print this currency when people could print it themselves on their own computers? I could, if I were counterfeiting currency on my on my computer, it would be every bit as worthless as the pieces of paper that are produced by the Federal Reserve. So why should we go through the trouble of even causing the Federal Reserve to print this stuff when I could be printing my own paper, my own worthless, intrinsically worthless paper dollars right here on my printer, on my computer? Need $100, go out for dinner, whatever. Yeah, just print it out. Why not?
But you know what it all boils down to, really, is confidence. Confidence.
Oh, yeah.
This paper is supposed to be worth so much.
Yeah.
And if people keep believing that, for whatever reason, they've been brainwashed, then they'll accept it.
They'll accept it until it blows up in their face. Because they're going to find out that their confidence is, you know, even though it may have worked out well for 40, 50 years, there's going to come a moment when they're going to find out that, oh my gosh, people don't accept these worthless pieces of paper. And if you don't have confidence in the note, then my confidence has to go down, because I know I can't just give you a $100 bill to hire you to work for me for a day or an hour or whatever. We lose confidence, the dollar becomes worth less, we get into hyperinflation, the dollar soon dies. People amaze, how can it die? How can the money die? It's not really money, for one thing. It's debt instruments. It's not money. Money is an asset. What we use for money today are mere promises to pay. And we've got so many out there that they can't possibly be kept. The time has to come. Although whether it comes in the next 6 months or it comes in the next 6 years, I don't know. But the time has to come when people realize that these paper debt instruments are worthless, and if you want to hang on to your wealth, you're going to have to store it in a medium other than digital or paper dollars and currencies. So it's all counterfeit. It's all worthless.
And the other thing, too, it's confidence in our leaders, our politicians.
Yeah.
They do not look out for us. They only look out for themselves.
Worse than that.
They don't care because they've got it made in the shade, right? They get good salaries, benefits, everything, no matter what level of government. And they don't want to leave it. There's no term limit.
But I don't think it's...
And I'm getting tired. I don't care about politicians anymore. I'm sick of it all. The system sucks. It's just not
See that the politicians are merely self-serving.
Exactly.
If they were merely greedy, we might be able to work with them. But what I see, from my perspective, they're not only greedy, they are treasonous. They are working to destroy our countries. Europe and Canada, we're down here in the United States. The nation is being taken apart. They intend to unite Canada with the United States and Mexico. There's no proviso in our Constitution for our congressmen and our senators to work to create some sort of a North American Union. They can't create that North American Union without destroying the United States of America. That's treason. They're doing it.
I get it. But you know, until people just say enough is enough and just say, I'm not participating in this system anymore. I'm not going to work today. I'm not doing squat. You know, until I get change. You know, but everybody's caught in the bind. They need the money to live on, right?
And lots of times change starts locally. You really have to start and work locally and helping other people to understand what's going on, education. It's a slow process, but they didn't do this overnight either.
A couple years back, Rob Ford, and he was hated by the press. He was hated by his fellow politicians for the most part because he was trying to save our city from going into the hole money-wise.
Yep.
And he passed away recently from cancer. But I'm telling you now, it's just back to the trough for these same local politicians. And it doesn't matter what level of government it is. They're all the same pigs, you know? And I'm sick of it. You know, they just look out for themselves.
I think the problem, the way I look at it, the way I understand it, might not be correct, but the way I think it runs is this. You know, we have accepted an extraordinary premise. And that is that a worthless piece of paper, a debt instrument, can be treated as an asset,
yeah,
something positive. And I understand that saying that, it sounds like I'm speaking in tongues to the vast majority of American people. I said, what the heck is he talking about? And there's the problem.
Well, they don't
people
know
don't
their history.
Understand
they don't know
once
the
we accept these phony,
baloney
green
things.
Pieces of paper as if they were assets when they're really debt instruments, once we
yeah.
do that, it leads us to logical conclusions that are contrary to our own interests. And we look at it and we say, how do we get to negative interest rate? It's insane. We get there because it started with a fiat currency. We've accepted it since 1971. Very few people get it, appreciate it, understand it. And until the nation begins to understand that was a dangerous and dumb and perhaps wicked idea. When they get to that, then they're going to sit back and say, you know, maybe we ought to try gold and silver again. And it won't be easy. I don't know that it'll happen.
It's a hard asset, right? I mean, it takes work to find it, takes work to mine it, takes work to process it and stamp it out in coins or whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, that's your value right there.
And it has intangible reality that is not directly a function of public confidence. Now, public confidence goes into gold, I get that. But it's not the same thing as public confidence in worthless pieces of paper.
Yeah.
There is value.
Okay, guys. I like what you're talking about today as far as, like, robots and artificial intelligence. I don't know where the hell it's all going to end to.
All right. We appreciate it, George.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, George.
Here's one that just amuses me. This is from Yahoo News, and the headline is Donald Trump fires back. Hillary Clinton has to go to jail. That's the headline in the statement from Trump. Hours after Hillary Clinton called him unfit to represent the nation's interests around the world, Donald Trump lambasted his likely Democratic presidential rival in his own Thursday speech in California. Among other barbs, Trump called her pathetic and vowed that if he wins the presidency, he will investigate whether she broke the law by using a private email server for official business while she was Secretary of State. He also accused Clinton of cozying up to President Obama and his policies so that she would avoid being prosecuted for the email scandal, which he called an embarrassment. He says, Trump says, remember Hillary Clinton used to hate Obama? Well, now it's yes, sir, Mr. President, sir. Anything Obama wants, she's going forward with because you know why? She doesn't want to go to jail. Trump called it a disgrace to the United States that Clinton was allowed to continue to run for president. And Trump later added, quote, I will say this. Hillary Clinton has to go to jail. She is guilty as hell, unquote. I find that just astonishing. That one presidential candidate would say in public that his adversary has to go to jail. It's been a long time, if ever, where we've had presidential candidates a squabble, especially go back into the 1800s and whatever. But I wonder if we've had one before where one candidate said the other one had to go to jail. This is just astonishing, and it's the sort of thing where people have been pussyfooting around. Are they going to indict Hillary? Are they not going to indict Hillary? It's been dancing around. Now someone in a position of apparent authority. Right?
Not yet.
Trump. Not official yet.
Not yet.
But he does, right? People pay more attention to Trump than they do to Obama. When he says Hillary has to go to jail, I wonder how much of a difference that makes in the mind of the FBI and the attorney general.
She will not be indicted prior to the election.
Well, we'll watch and see.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, before she made her announcement that she was going to run, her official announcement, she went to the White House, spent an afternoon. 2 days later, she made the announcement. I'll guarantee you that was a promise from Obama. And that was right when things were coming out that, you know, they wouldn't do anything, that, you know, she had his blessing. You can't tell me, and this is my own theory, this is, you know, my own opinion, my own conspiracy theory. You can't tell me that Obama is moving into a $6 million mansion in Washington, D.C. that is owned by buddies of the Clinton that worked for Clinton's administration. I can't, Lockwood or Lockhart that owns the mansion. You just can't tell me that there isn't, you know, some back scratching going on there. She will not be indicted prior to the election. The only way possible that she would be indicted if there was something really, really bad.
I don't doubt there's and lots that's really, really bad.
I mean, she's how done bigger, really, really how bad things. Dick? But as far as the emails are concerned, no, she will not be indicted prior to the election. That doesn't mean the Democrats won't drop her. You know, but I don't think she'll
be indicted. Well, I think they have to be considering that right now. The way this is shaping up, in my estimation, is if Hillary is the Democratic candidate, I think she's going to suffer one of the worst defeats any candidate has ever suffered who was running for the presidency. I think Trump will steamroll over her in ways that are going to astonish people. And if that happens, if it turns out that prediction is roughly correct, then the Democrats are going to lose the House and the Senate, and they're going to suffer a terrible defeat in the November election. I think the Democrat Party has to look at it and say, look, we got to dump this woman. We got to get rid of her, or we're going to lose so many seats in the House and the Senate and governor's offices and the rest of that. The damage will be just extraordinary. And for that reason, she's going to have to go. I think it's partly the same reason why people in the Republican Party who in the establishment who had previously worked against Trump are beginning to say, well, what the heck? It may be that he's going to help us if he runs. I don't like him, but if he runs, it may be that we regain control of both the House and the Senate. Right? Maybe we gather, maybe we take over both of them. It could be a rout for the Democrats, and we'll deal with Trump when we have to. But for right now, let's support him. He's maybe good for the party.
It's funny because you don't know, because you're going to have people who don't like Trump vote for Hillary just for that. And you have people that will vote for Trump, and you'll have people who vote for Trump because they don't like Hillary.
That's why most people vote.
Yeah.
Very few.
They don't like the other guy.
Candidates, we think the other guy is worse.
You know, I heard this interview, I mentioned it on the program before, that I can't think of his last name, Howard Dean. He was interviewed, and he was talking about Democrats. They were always losing to the Republicans, and now they knew how to win. He says, coming up to the elections, especially the presidential, he says, you could talk about anything up to a month prior to the election. But that last month, when people walk into that, he says, all issues, everything goes out the window. They vote for the person who they like.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a personality. If they like you, they will vote for you.
Well, that may be true. We'll watch and see. We would certainly live in interesting times. We're out of time. We'll be back. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Money, always sunny in a rich man.